Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Mind Shift, the podcast that's here to help you think critically, to have a mind shift, to be your partner along the path of deconstruction and discovery. I am your host, Dr. Clint Haycock, coming to you on a rare sunny day from The Rock here in North Wales, where my wife Lisa and I live in the United Kingdom, and I'm super excited to be bringing you this special episode today. This is the story of our super good friends, Jeff and Karen Green. Actually, my wife Lisa went to high school with Karen, so they've been friends for a long time. I won't say how long ago that was, but let's just say it may have been back in the days of big hair, Levi's, button fly 501 jeans, skinny ties, and new wave music. So let's just say they've been friends for a long time. Now, this is the story of Jeff and Karen, as I say, an inspirational story, a heartwarming story of Jeff and his battle with leukemia over the last 7 months. And I'm going to let Jeff in a minute tell you exactly what happened. But I'm super excited to be bringing this story today because talk about a mind shift. I cannot imagine the thought of being sick, going to the doctor's office, and then being told you have cancer. How do you deal with that? Maybe someone listening to this episode today has heard those words, has gone through that, or is, like Jeff and Karen, is going through that right now. Well, if that's the case, then you're going to want to listen into Jeff and Karen's story of relentless positivity, enthusiasm, encouragement, gratitude in the face of cancer, leukemia, a terrible disease that has left Jeff on many occasions very close to death. But he's still battling, he's still with us, and they have launched a campaign that I'm sure you're going to want to be a part of, the hashtag $10, 10 shares, 10 prayers campaign. And this is a way for you to get involved in helping Jeff fund not only their current living situation, but also alternative medicine that insurance doesn't cover, ways for Jeff to get fully healed. And that's why we call this episode Journey to Healing. And that is very much what this is all about. And it's not just about Jeff's physical healing, although that's certainly clearly important, but it's about the mindset, the mentality. And that's what shines through, I think, in this interview is, as I said, that relentless positivity. And you know, talk about a mind shift. He could have gone either way. He could have gone down the route of being bitter and angry, the why me route. Why me? Why am I getting cursed with this terrible disease? Or, as you'll hear him talk about, he chose to go down the route of being positive and looking for the good in every little thing, as hard as that has been. And he will talk a little bit about that as well as Karen in this episode. And of course, one of the amazing things that comes out of Jeff's story and that's just starting to build now is how this is taking off on social media, on YouTube, and in other places. And I will put links to those in the show notes as well and ways for you to get a hold of Jeff and Karen if you're interested in helping fund his campaign, his journey toward healing. And even beyond that, now Jeff and Karen are starting to put themselves in a position where they can help other people. In fact, I just read a post on the Jeff Green Journey to Healing page on Facebook where Jeff was challenging people to help donate even $1, as little as $1 per person, to help a poor kid who's colorblind and he's being picked on by his classmates in school. And the money is going to be raised to help pay for a pair of special glasses for this poor boy so that he can see normally. And hopefully this will help with the bullying. So it's amazing to think that in the midst of battling leukemia, battling this terrible disease, what is so unbelievably amazing is that Jeff is now turning his attention to find ways that he can help other people. And as you'll hear in the interview that's coming up in a minute, this is the truly amazing part, I think, of this whole story. Beyond Jeff's fight with cancer and his wife Karen's support, as well as their two daughters, how they have undergone a mind shift, you could say, and are now working with people all around the world to help other people who are in need. And so this is an absolutely amazing story that I am super excited to be bringing you in this episode. So let's get right into Journey to Healing with Jeff and Karen Green on Mindshift. I am here with Jeff and Karen Green. They are special guests on this kind of Blitz episode today. This is really cool because the episode that I was planning on doing this Friday didn't actually work, and I had a chance to talk with Jeff and Karen, who are some good friends of ours from Tacoma, Washington in the States. Can you say hello to everyone, Jeff and Karen?
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Thank you for having us on here, Clint.
Yeah, this is great because we have a lot to talk about in this episode today. There's been a lot of stuff that's happened, even just in the last couple of days, wouldn't you say, Jeff and Karen? I mean, as far as your story getting out on YouTube and other channels, it's just an amazing story, isn't it?
Yeah, just to put it lightly, before we jumped on this interview with you, I was just sitting there overwhelmed with emotion at what's been happening, because it's been an amazing journey, and
yeah,
full of gratitude right now.
Yeah, the past couple of days have really just taken off, just like wildfire. Our story is, you know, getting out there, and we're really trying to spread the word about Jeff and his needs and his healing journey. So we've been really happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, the power of social media. You think, even 15, 10 years ago, this couldn't have happened in the same way. The power of somebody with a mobile phone, a cell phone, a Twitter account, a YouTube account, and all of a sudden a video can go viral, and it's literally all over the world in a matter of minutes, hours, you know. So your story is starting to gain some traction, isn't it? Can you take us back through what the kind of the whole version of the whole story? I mean, You've been battling leukemia, Jeff, for, what, 7 months?
Yeah.
Can you kind of recap what the story is?
Sure. Back in kind of towards the end of March, I wasn't feeling well. Kind of started with a toothache, and I just kind of kept taking ibuprofen and trying to hope it would go away, and it just kept getting worse and worse, and so Karen said, you know, we need to get you to the doctor. And by the time we kind of got it all figured out, we actually went to the ER because I had so much fatigue I could barely walk up the stairs. And they did some blood work and got me back in there right away. And the ER doctor came in and said, you know, I'm just going to put it to you bluntly. And I remember I thought, oh no, here we go. And my daughter was there, and she actually had to excuse herself. She knew it was not serious. And the doctor said, Mr. Green, we're pretty sure you have leukemia. And I just remember thinking, what? Could you repeat that, please? I don't think I heard you right. How could I have leukemia? And, you know, immediately fear and just overwhelmed with emotion, and because we had just gone through some a cancer scare with Karen earlier that year, kind of the end of the previous year, and she had just had a surgery to kind of take care of it. So it's like, really, again? I mean, wow. Yeah. What about our family and my daughters? And then I stopped thinking about myself. I need to be strong. I need to beat this for my family. And so one of my first things that I said to the doctor was, "I'm a fighter. I'm going to beat this." And
When the ER doctor came in and said it was leukemia, and she said, "And by the way, you're being admitted tonight, and don't plan on going home for at least a month." And, you know, we just, so many thoughts go through your head, terror, you know, like, gosh, is he going to die? To, he has a job. How are we going to pay our bills? Like, will they understand? I mean, so many things flood your mind in that moment. And it's hard to compartmentalize it all and to take it all in. And, you know, all I could do was just bawl my eyes out. And I immediately called my mom and said, barely got the words out, you know, please come here. And that night, you know, my mom came, and we just, at that point, just clinged on to each other and our family, and you know, just trusted that we're just going to be, we can't do anything else. It is what it is. So let's absorb this and let's get on the track to getting this beat. And that's kind of what we've put our heads down and decided that, you know, we're going to do what we can. And I, you know, all of our friends and family literally are spread around the world. My mom lives in Arizona most of the time. My dad is in the Philippines. Our daughters live in Denver. All of our, you know, my best friends, one lives in Cincinnati. My other, you and Lisa, live in England. You know, everybody's so far apart. And I just decided, and all of Jeff's family, they all live in the Midwest. His sister's in Kansas, his brother's in Nebraska, his parents are in Kansas. So I, you know, just how can we bring people closer to us that aren't physically here? And I just decided to create, you know, the Facebook page, Jeff's Journey to Healing. And that way we could, it's hard to talk to so many people, and this way, this way it was easy to post updates and keep people posted. And then also for him, you know, he's in the hospital receiving treatments, and he's bored sometimes, and he needs the strength of people pulling for him. And, you know, we asked, you know, please post funny videos, post, you know, things that were pulling for you. Or, and then something that really meant a lot to Jeff is he's a very compassionate person himself. And, you know, hey, look, would you please go out and do some random acts of kindness for me and post it here so that I can be a part of, even though I'm laying here, I feel like I'm part of the greater good, if you will. And that's just kind of how the whole Facebook page, the Journey page, started, and just kind of took off from there.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to understand how you can't prepare for something like this, can you? I mean, you're, like you say, it starts out with a toothache. You think this is just a toothache, and then you're told you've got leukemia. There's nothing that can prepare you for such a drastic and sudden, shocking life change, is there? I can't even imagine, you know, sitting in a doctor's office and hearing those words. And like you say, all the practical realities. What did you do as far as work? What ended up happening there? I mean, how did your life, you know, change in those minutes, really, when you heard that prognosis?
Yeah, luckily my employer was very gracious. They kind of kept my salary going for a little while, but they said, you know, we hope you're getting better soon because we can't keep this up forever. We'll keep your insurance in place because you're going to need that to help pay for all this hospital stay. But it didn't cover everything, so it was still very weight on my heart, very heavy, and I knew it would come to an end soon, and I knew this was going to be a longer battle based on some, they're very, when they're first dishing you all this news, they hold it close to their chest because they don't want to overwhelm you. And I said, look, I have a family to care for. I have a wife to care for. I have responsibilities where people are depending on me. Just give it to me straight so I can prepare. And they said, you need to be prepared to be here for about 3 months.
Three months.
And then beyond that, another 6 months to a year.
A follow-up, you know, treatment.
Follow-up treatments and everything else that goes along with this.
But his employer, you know, he's a family man. It's a family-owned company called Pyle Pete McDowell Northwest. And we were in constant communication with John, and he was very understanding. And, you know, we'll keep Jeff on the payroll. We'll definitely be pulling for him, praying for him. Just keep us informed. And at first, you know, you kind of think, okay, oh, it'll just be, Jeff will take have this chemo and he'll be healed and we'll move on with our lives. This will just be a little, you know, bump in the road. And as you get further into it, you realize that's not really the case. And, you know, one thing leads to another. He has a complication. He gets an infection from the chemo. And it just, it snowballs from there. And what you hope to happen, and where you'll just be in there for, you know, a month or two, get healed up, and he'll be back on the job, and, you know, life goes on. And it just, that's wishful thinking, to be honest with you, with especially with cancer, because you just never know. And so it ended up being where his employer was really gracious and understanding, but at some point they, you know, it's a business, and they have to draw the line, and, you know, and bless his heart, he wanted to keep us, you know, going with the salary, but not knowing when Jeff could return to work, just really, they couldn't keep doing that. So, you know, Jeff, we're literally without any steady income at all, period, at this point. But through the graciousness of donations and our GoFundMe page and so many people spreading the word for us, we have been able to just at least meet our immediate needs, such as keeping a roof over our heads and eating and getting Jeff the treatments that he needs. So, you know, we have been fortunate to some degree, you know.
Yeah, it's not going to be an easy road for sure. I mean, one of the things that's impressed me is we've been a part of your Facebook, your Jeffrey Green Journey to Healing Facebook group. And as you were mentioning earlier, you said that Jeff, even when you were kind of at some of your lowest ebbs, I can remember several months back you saying, you know, please post pictures of your pets, your dog, your cat, or a funny meme or a joke or something, you know, and that would lift your spirits. How much has that been a help to you, Jeff, just getting that sort of support and positivity, I guess, for lack of a better word? Has that helped your kind of mental outlook? Because one of the things that's impressed me is how positive you've stayed through this whole experience so far. I mean, it's just amazing to think how positive you've been. And I just can't imagine being so positive in those kind of situations like you're dealing with now.
Well, you know, it's tough because your initial reaction is to why me, and how did I get picked for this? This is just, you know, I asked the doctors, you know, what causes this? They said, we don't know, really. Sometimes it just happens. And so I, you know, we've been through a lot in our lives, and it's prepared us, I guess, to take this in stride. This isn't the first major crisis in our lives, so I learned a while back that you can choose to take this head on and take it with a positive attitude, or you can let it crush you. And I chose the first. I chose to be positive with it. However long or short my life is going to be, I'm going to make a difference in people's lives, even laying here in bed, because it gives my life meaning. And to have people, it's like a virtual cheering section when people post those things to me, because it just lifted my spirits. I have a down day where I was just, you know, fighting being sick and feverish and in pain, and I could grab my iPad and look on the Facebook Journey page and see these fun posts and people just saying, "Hey, you got this, Jeff," and it just lifted me up like you wouldn't believe. Can't thank people enough for that part of it. And it was fun to be able to think of challenges to give people too. You know, come up with your funniest picture or the coolest picture of your day. I'm stuck here in the hospital bed. Let me live a life through you guys.
Yeah, you know, you can live vicariously through us.
Life.
Yeah. I think I sent you a picture of our dog when she crawled out of our window and went up on our roof of the house. I think that was one of the funny.
laughter is so important for healing of anything, whatever you're going through out there. You've got to get yourself to the point of positivity and laughter,
I think the nurses were kind of like, what is going on in there? Like, we would be laughing every day at something just silly, you know, doing funny, like we did the Snapchat videos, or just when Jeff's sister came to visit and surprised Jeff, and we were doing those Mad Libs, and we bought him a one of those little tiny basketball hoops that you can kind of put over your doorway, and we gave him the ball, and he'd shoot at the basket, you know, just to kind of keep his body also from atrophy, but make it fun. And we did charades one night when the girls were in town, you know. We would do the charades, and Jeff would try to guess what we were doing. And, you know, I remember the doctor coming in and just being so kind of like blown away, like, who are you? I think he said, are you a celebrity? And Jeff was like, no. And he just said, you just have so many people that are, you know, really cheering you on. And I just said, you know, that's kind of who we are. We just take things and whatever life throws at us, our humor has always seemed to stay intact and making things fun. And so even the nurses got in on it with us. His really good friend, Nick, who is a nurse there, was just a kick in the pants, a real hoot. And he loved it, you know. He just loved all the silliness and the fun, and he'd join in, and some of the other nurses. And so through humor and through that Facebook page and living vicariously through all of you guys, Jeff really was, his spirits were able to stay lifted. You know, not every moment of every day, but, as you know, as good as it could be, it was.
Yeah. So where are you at, Jeff, in the process? It's been 7 months, right, since you were diagnosed. You're home now. Is that right?
I'm home now. Just got back about a month ago from my last stay in the hospital from a very serious infection. That was after round three of chemotherapy. So I've gone through three rounds of chemotherapy, two on the initial visit, and then I got to go home for a little while. It didn't quite knock it out, but they said, you know, you need to go home and recover, and then we'll come up with what's next. My counts have gone way down, so the chemo did help to a certain degree, but we still have a fight ahead of us. Need to be at full remission, absolute zero cancer cells, because leukemia can get very aggressive, more so than a lot of the other cancers, because it's in your blood. And so I'm feeling good.
Yeah, I
found some, you know, been doing a lot of different things for natural healing. You know, God made our bodies to heal themselves if we give them the right thing. And so we're kind of going down that path now of trying to find some more alternative therapies, if you will. And we've been led to so many different things. It's incredible. So many.
Yeah, I know. My wife Lisa's doing tons of research on hemp oil and all this other alternative medicines that are out there. So yeah, she's become an expert on, you know, all these other things.
You have to be an advocate for yourself. They're not, you know, the way that things happen in the hospital is not. They're there to help you, but they're there to treat symptoms. They're not really looking at it from a holistic patient standpoint. It's a one-size-fits-all, let's just toss some chemo at you and see if that works. And it's poison for your body, and you have to, as Jeff said the other day, you know, you're basically, give the analogy of the Army. I think that was a really good one.
Yeah, there's two different thoughts in this, the kind of the Western medicine, if you will. They basically destroy your army before you go in for the fight, because the chemotherapy completely obliterated my immune system. So immediately after chemo, every single time I got serious infections, because my body couldn't naturally fight it off. And the holistic viewpoint is to arm your army before you go into the fight, and then release that army to do the fight for you in your body. And
by arming it, we mean through, you know, alternative therapies, nutrition, high dose vitamin C protocol, IV, vitamin K. Just, you know, it's a long, like, you know, with like Lisa arming herself with information, it's a long, arduous journey to come to this information, but we feel like we really stumbled onto a lot of holistic approaches that are seeing so much results. You know, YouTube is just a treasure trove of success stories from people that have been, you know, treating themselves with the holistic approach. And so that's the journey that we're on right now. And it's not cheap. You know, the insurances won't cover it. It's, we need to get him to San Diego for some of these treatments and
Philadelphia.
And then Philadelphia. So, yeah. You know, it's a very expensive journey, but we really believe that the alternative at this point, Clint, is for him to go to get a bone marrow transplant in Seattle. And that is, we're talking millions of dollars. And there's not even any real long-term success for that. If, you know, they give him lethal doses of chemo, they give him lethal doses of radiation, knock out his entire, you know, immune system, introduce a donor's, you know, marrow. And at that point, you just cross your fingers that his body won't reject it. And if it, you know, okay, let's say it does take hold years later, you know, what about graft versus host disease and quality of life? And so there's so many unknowns in that direction, and it's just as expensive, and insurance rarely covers it. So we've just felt like really led to go down this more holistic approach of, and it's, you know, it's expensive as well. So we're really hoping and praying and just putting the word out there and into the universe. You know, we believe in this, we have faith, and this is the direction we're going to go in, and we're going to believe that people are going to come behind us, partner with us, shoulder to shoulder, and we're going to beat this.
Yeah, and don't get us wrong, we're not here to bash Western medicine, and that they did great work. It had its place in the beginning to really, it was pretty severe. I had 37% leukemic cells in my blood when I first went to the hospital. So that, it helped to bring it way, way down. But beyond that, it's not a long-term solution. So we've been finding through all these different people sharing and tons of research, talking to people that have gone through both sides of it, both the Western medicine and the more holistic approach, and it's led us to all these different healing protocols. But there is a place for it. It did help, and the staff at St. Joseph's in Tacoma, where I was, they're just phenomenal people. Just, I can't thank them enough for the absolute stellar care that they gave me. And when I was at absolute rock bottom, they were there the day and night to really take care of me. So, yeah, it just, I want to, when I'm all better and I'm gonna go ring that remission bell that they have there, we're going to have a big party with them.
Yeah.
Make sure they're well fed, because hospital food sucks.
Exactly.
That's true. I've been in the hospital before.
Yeah.
It's not good. It's not five-star cuisine. They're not Michelin five-star restaurants. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. Is you're, what's that?
The poor nutritionist there at the hospital knew me. Oh, Mr. Green needs to see me again. What are we up against this time?
What are we up against now? Yeah, there's some pretty bad hospital food out there, isn't there?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Western medicine, I mean, you said that the approach seems to be, yeah, kill that army before you go into battle, which seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? If you're about to engage an enemy, you kind of want to have an army up and ready to go. But I understand that's kind of their philosophy, isn't it? Is that they're trying to kill all the cancerous cells in your body, and that means bringing you almost as close to death as well. And they're hoping that the cancer dies just before you do. It seems like that's kind of the approach, isn't it?
Good way to put it.
And
yep.
then if they kill the cancer, then they can try to bring you back from the brink. And what you're left with is, like you say, your immune system has been completely destroyed, and now you're susceptible to all kinds of infections, and which you've had, haven't you? You said you've really struggled with side effects, I guess you could say, of the chemo. The treatment on your body has opened up all kinds of other problems.
I died 3 times.
Yeah, I was very close to death 3 different times. Basically four major infections. Had to have my gallbladder taken out. Had kidney stone surgery before the chemo, so it wouldn't get infected. It's been quite an ordeal.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, you mentioned the word faith. I mean, I don't want to know. We spend too much time on this topic, but we did speak a little bit about this before. You both identify as Christians for sure. How would you say this experience, has it changed your views of God at all? I mean, how is that? Can you kind of walk us through that process?
Hasn't really changed my views so much, more as maybe when you're faced with this, you have a choice, like I said before, and I chose to let it bring me closer. And sometimes people can get bitter with it, and it pushes them away. And it's really strengthened my faith in the Lord, a higher power, whatever your beliefs are. But I believe in God. I believe in the Creator, and I think there's power in positivity. There's power in prayer. That's why when people were coming up with this latest campaign, we need to somehow include positivity, prayer, and so they came up with the $10, 10 shares, 10 prayers. I just think it's just golden because that sums it all up. People literally all over the world are praying for me, sending positive vibes, sending just this positive energy. God created everything to have an energy, and if it's full of negativity, it continues to breed negativity. And so making that choice to laugh and have positivity creates more of that, and it creates a path for healing.
I know that for me, it's been a kind of a struggle, because I believe in a higher power. I believe in, I guess you could say, God, the Creator. But I get tripped up a lot by Christians, if you will, because we our circle of influence is, we do have a lot of Christians and people of faith. And we'd ask, for very specific needs, can you help us clean our house, or can you help us with donations, or can you... And a lot of people, response would be, we're praying. And I do believe that there's a spiritual component that everybody needs to have in their life, whether you believe in God or something. But there is a spiritual energy that we all resonate with us. And so, I don't begrudge anybody praying for us at all. I think it's important. But at the same time, we're desperate for practical solutions. So I think people need to really understand that just saying the words praying for you or praying isn't necessarily something that brings somebody in this situation comfort. So, for me, it's the spiritual aspect of things have been a little bit different. I still believe in the Creator and a higher power. But I also really feel like people need to understand that just because you label yourself as a Christian and say the words praying, it isn't necessarily bringing comfort to those people that you're saying it to. So it's been an interesting journey for myself from that perspective. But I do believe, and I will always believe, in a Creator, in a higher power, and in the power of positive energy in the world. And however people want to label that, you can label it however you want to, but that's my personal beliefs.
Yeah, I was raised in the church, and I have a little bit stronger opinion about that, than. So it's this whole journey has really strengthened my faith and my desire to take that faith into more of an action-based thing, if you will. Because you can have faith and have prayer, but if you don't back it up with action, you don't see results.
Yeah, it's pretty much meaningless, isn't it? Well, I like my friend Gary Hayes. We did a podcast a couple of months ago, and he made the point that he asked the question, what is God doing? Because it's very easy, like you say, you could get angry and bitter about this and say, the first question is, why me? Why me, God? Why have you, you know, stuck me with this? Well, Gary said, the thing is, what's God doing? He says, God's doing whatever you're doing. Or maybe it's whatever you're not doing, you know? So why can't we turn the words into actions? If you want to say you believe in God, that's fine. Or if you don't believe in God, that's fine too. But at the end of the day, if you're in a position to help somebody and you don't do it, there's something wrong with that, surely. So yeah, saying I'm just going to pray for you and not doing anything, as you say, Karen, tangibly, there's got to be a disconnect there somehow.
Right. Right, yeah.
So maybe we need to...
And I get it. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I get it because, you know, people all over the world are suffering. They have their own problems and issues and battles that they're fighting and things that they're dealing with in their lives. And I'm sure it wouldn't take too long to find somebody that's worse off than us. But you still need to set that aside for just a couple minutes, say a prayer, share a story with a friend, and help out just a little bit. And it makes such a huge difference if a lot of people are doing this. So we're, friends and family have really just outdone themselves to create this kind of movement to realize that, you know, a lot of people stepping up and doing just a very little bit can make a huge difference. And our hope is to kind of take that beyond us because it's, at this point, it's become way more than just Jeff and Karen. It's become all over the world what's going on. And we want to continue that kind of that movement to help others so they don't have to go through some of the suffering that we've had to go through.
Yeah, and that's a good segue to talk about what's happened just in the last few days, because can you tell us what's gone on? You keep mentioning your story's gone viral. It's going worldwide. There's a story that happened with a YouTube video. Can you share? What happened there?
Yeah, I'm going to let Karen
right.
tell that.
Well,
everybody else has kind of been. We're going to take this and make something happen. I'm just kind of going, okay, well, I'm going to go to my treatment now, so you guys take care of that.
Right. You're just along
well,
for the ride.
We've been watching so many things that go, you know, viral, and just kind of like, well, what's making that go viral? How does that happen? What do we need to do? And so my sister-in-law, Crystal, and myself, and a couple of other people, Lisa, just really putting our heads together and like, how can we make this go viral? And part of it is just thinking of, like, catchphrases or hashtags. And at first, you know, I thought, well, how about $10, 10 shares? You know, it's just a lot of people doing a little bit. And if they just donate $10 and just share it, you know, we can get this off the ground. And then my sister-in-law was saying, you know, what do you think about, you know, the people that are, you know, praying for you? And I said, you know what? I don't have a problem with that spiritual component. I do think it's part of the journey. And more people sending positivity into the world, the better. And how about $10, 10 shares, 10 prayers? You know, that's I'm really on board with that. And so, you know, that's how the hashtag itself kind of developed. And then we, earlier on, Jeff was really, really at rock bottom. I honestly just didn't think I didn't know if he was going to make it. He was so sick. He had a fever of 106 at one point. He had pneumonia. No, you know, this was right after chemo, so he had zero immune system to help him fight himself. So I just, you know, in desperation, reached out to Lisa and said, please, can we help me get my girls here? And they've got to be with their dad. I don't know if he's going to make it. And so through the gracious friendships that I have of Lisa and Anne and Crystal and
Alisa
and some other people, they put their heads together and were able to get my girls tickets and get them here. So I took a quick video of the reunion. It was a surprise. Jeff didn't know they were coming. I really wanted him to see what he's fighting for and get that energy from the girls. And so I took I wanted to capture that moment of him, the surprise of him seeing his girls. I mean, he literally could barely speak at that point. He was so sick. But, the girls coming in and just the emotion that he had of seeing them and the reunion was just so precious. And I asked my sister-in-law to convert that live Facebook video to a YouTube video, because I don't know how to do that. And she did that, and somehow this sort of internet television station found it that same day. And I, honestly, I don't know exactly what happened and how, but it did. And so they contacted me and said, can we do a story based around this? It's so precious and can you give me the background and the story? And so I had been communicating with this producer from that internet show and television show and gave her the nuts and bolts of kind of what, the past 6 months have been and how we got the girls here. And anyhow, it just took off from there. And they created this little television segment for it and used the hashtag, $10, 10 shares, 10 prayers. And we've just really been trying to focus in on just the $10. That's just $10 and 10 shares and send some prayers out for us. And that's just, we're really just trying to keep it simple. And I think when we really started focusing on keeping things simple is when things really started to really take off, is just keeping things simple.
And the whole goal of it is to, we found these treatments that are going to give my body my army basically to continue the fight and finish it, complete the battle, win the war, and that's what it's going for, is to help pay for that with insurance.
Right.
It's
so
weird as hell.
Yeah.
Insurance won't cover that stuff for some reason. It's just kind of wacky how the system is, but it is what it is, and we found ways to just make it work, and I think that's just how we are, and how our friends and family and everybody rallying around us. It's just been. Sorry, I'm
getting emotional. That's okay.
No, that's. You're talking about a very overwhelming thing, aren't you? I mean, your life, it's your whole life, your whole family is all wrapped up in this whole thing. If anyone can help, then so much the better. It's just an amazing story. So the hashtag is that's part of the GoFundMe campaign that you're doing?
Yeah, it's part of the whole, we just wanted to keep it simple, and we didn't want people to feel overwhelmed with how much to donate. And then we do know that, if you have a hashtag that's simple and people can, it can catch on, and that's what we're hoping, is that the hashtag $10, 10 shares, 10 prayers will catch on and people will see that,
Yeah, now there was another story that Jeff was telling me about. You've got a new Australian friend. Is that true, Jeff? You've got a new mate down under.
It's not a new mate.
Not Crocodile Dundee, it's somebody else.
So Kieran's cousin and her partner's wife. They live in Australia, and she works for a major corporation, and she was at one of their functions, and they had a motivational speaker there. His name is Sebastian Terry. He's the guy that kind of started this whole 100 Things movement, and he's from Australia. And if you look them up on YouTube, and it's pretty amazing how over the past 7 years, what has transpired and where this journey has taken him and how many lives he's been able to affect. And so he has a book, and Heather said, well, I'm going to get this book for Jeff. because this is really cool. It really touched her heart, some of the stories he was sharing. And so he had a signing at the end of the show, and she went up and said, "Can you please address this to Jeff and say, for your healing?" And he said, "What for your healing? What, who's Jeff and what's that all about?" So Heather very emotionally told the story, and he said, "Oh my goodness, I got to talk to this guy." So he wrote his personal cell phone number at the bottom of the book and said, "Have him ring me up. I'll be back in the States in a couple weeks." And we finally got a hold of each other, and it's just amazing. He's just really behind what's going on, and he's helped a lot of people cancer do one of their 100 things on their list. It's about going out and accomplishing something in your life that's for you, that makes you feel jazzed and makes you step out of your comfort zone and just go live your life. And that's what he's about. Just, you know, everybody gets so bogged down in the daily grind that are you really living your life? So, and it's morphed into him being able to help a lot of people and bring the people that need help together with the people that are willing to help. So I shared with him, "I'd love to be a part of that." And he said, let's do this. So we're in the process of trying to figure out how to help this lady down in California that needs, she wants to build a treehouse for her autistic son. And I said, "Well, one of your things on your list, Sebastian, is you want to build something. I know how to build. Let's get there and let's build this thing for her and her son." And he's like, "Okay, I don't know how to build, but let's do it." You know,
let's make
just,
it happen.
He's a go-getter. He just, and we're doing some other things. That'll start. It'll take some time, but it's coming, and it's just exciting to where this whole journey has led us, and we feel just overwhelmed and full of gratitude. Our hearts are just full of gratitude right now because so many things like that have come across our path, and just can't thank people enough for supporting us.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that perspective out, because you said earlier on that when you first got diagnosed with leukemia, you could have gone down that road of getting bitter and angry and, you know, resentful. Why me? This sucks. This is bullshit. I'm just a good guy. I'm working hard. I'm being a good dad. I'm being a husband and a father and everything else. This isn't fair. But you didn't. You went down the road of being positive and having people around you that have helped lift you up. And as you say, one of the perspectives that comes out of a terrible illness like this is how you're now in a position to start touching other people's lives. And that's that. None of that would have happened if you hadn't gone through these experiences. And it's just one of those strange things about how life sometimes works, isn't it?
So many people have, a couple of very big-time people have been in touch with me and just said, you know, there's a reason that you've gone through this, and the way you've approached it, God has big plans for you. And I've just been a working guy. I've worked hard all my life to take care of my family, and I don't view myself as anybody other than, you know, the rest of my neighbors and family and friends around me. But it's starting to come about that there are plans bigger than us, and we're just, part of it is having a willing attitude to accept that and then take the actions necessary to just go forward with it and be okay with it. And we're just, I just can't use the word gratitude enough, but we're so grateful and feel so honored to be a part of this. That
we want to, you know, take what we've learned and kind of pay it forward ourselves, parlay what we've learned and the pitfalls of whatever the medical systems or so many times the nurses told us that it was so heartwarming to see Jeff's family coming every day in, day out to spend time with him when there's other people going through it alone. And I just, my heart sunk. I said, how can they go through it? I couldn't even fathom that. And so I'm hoping through our experiences, I don't know what that's going to look like in the future, but for those people that are going through it alone, or for those people that need information about alternative sides of healthcare, or, you know, the pitfalls of this journey, we're hoping to parlay our experiences into paying it forward and helping people and on their journey, whatever that may be. We don't know how that's going to look right now, but all we know that it's been pressed upon our hearts that we want to pay this forward, because we've been so extremely blessed with people and their generosity in spirit and in financially and in just so many different ways. So we just want to make sure that we're also taking care of people.
Yeah, and it's kind of like you're taking the long view in a way. That's what I hear you saying, isn't it? Where you don't know what the future holds, but this is a journey. This is a destination, isn't it? And you know, there's a lot of, especially around the church. I mean, we all come from a background of, you know, sort of evangelical Christianity, and there's a lot of slick sort of pat answers when people go through things like this. But one of the things is that sometimes we go through suffering so that we'll be in a position to help other people. And that's just seems to be a truism of life. And not everybody responds that way, though, do they? I mean, just because you go through suffering, a lot of people don't help anybody. They just become insular and bitter and angry and or withdrawn inside themselves. And it's great to hear that you guys have that perspective of, now we want to help other people because we know what it's like to go through this stuff.
And don't get me wrong, Clint. I'm I get accused of being Pollyanna, but I have my moments when I'm just, you know, I'm really down and why me, and just angry and I'm just, oh, I just want life to be normal again. But then just thinking about that, life is a moment. You don't know what the next moment will bring. So live in that moment. Make that moment the best moment you can. And it's just been driven home to me, even in those dark times that I have, where I'm just so overwhelmed with anger and sadness and why me and what did I do to deserve this? And then it hits me, why not me? I've been through what I've been through in my life to create the positive outlook that I have and to try to be as selfless as possible. So why not me? Why not me?
Yeah, we can do a lot of finger pointing and blaming, but sometimes there just isn't an answer, is there? Or we don't know it at this point. You know, if at all, when we may never know. Things, sometimes stuff just happens. I don't know. You know, it's one of those things, isn't it? Well, now, I'm thinking we're probably going to need to wrap it up. We've been about 45 minutes. How can people get a hold of you? How can people that are hearing your story and want to help you financially or in other ways, what's the best way for them to do that?
Really, if they just Google hashtag $10, 10 shares, 10 prayers, they will, you know, all kinds of media will pop up and it'll take them to either our website or our GoFundMe page. So
Facebook page too.
And our Facebook page. I mean, we do have a website. It's $10, 10 shares, 10 prayers.com. And that'll take people directly to Jeff's story. It'll take them to videos that we have. It'll take them to our GoFundMe page. But honestly, it's simple. It's just Google hashtag $10, 10 shares, 10 prayers, and you'll be able to find us right away.
Yeah, so that's the best thing. I'll put these all the links in the show notes, because one of the things people really need to see is that video of your daughters when they came to surprise Jeff. And so we'll put the link to that in the show notes. That's just an inspiring, amazing video to see Jeff laying there in bed so sick and then just absolutely blown away when his daughters came in.
Yes, it's so heartwarming. And I'm so glad that I was able to capture that moment. It really meant the world to Jeff. It meant the world to me. And I know that because, like I said at the beginning, was everybody is so, all of our family and friends are so far away, it just, when I'm able to take those videos and take pictures of him, it brings them that much closer.
Yeah, you can live through a little bit what you're going through.
Yeah, well, I'll just address the show that we're talking about. It's called WriteThisMinute.com, and then you can put that link under there.
I give them credit.
With the actual
That's
video.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's just wonderful how they took a hold of our story and did that. It's amazing. It's amazing what the Lord has put in our path, and we're just graciously accepting it and saying thank you and trying to do the best we can with the... with the blessings that have been given to us, and just
take it one day at a time, and you're just on this journey. Where it's going, you don't know. It sounds like
no, but that's part of the fun of life, right? You just never know what's happening from one day to the next. We know that all too well.
All too well. Well, thank you so much, Jeff and Karen Green, for being a part of this podcast today. I mean, that story is absolutely amazing and inspiring, so thank you guys so much. We will definitely put links to your videos as well as your hashtag and your website on the show notes. So thank you, Jeff and Karen. You want to say goodbye to everyone?
Yeah, goodbye, everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
God bless.
We love you all.
Thank you, Clint. We really appreciate everything.
Okay, thank you too, Jeff and Karen Green. All right, everybody, thank you for joining myself, Jeff, and Karen Green along this journey, listening to their story, and I hope that you were struck as I was struck in talking to both Jeff and Karen by that unbelievable sense of positivity. Gratitude, even. How can you be grateful for something as terrible as a life-threatening disease like leukemia? And yet, what's inspiring to me is the story of how the family has come together, the laughter, the joy, the amazement on the part of the doctors and the nurses at the hospital, hearing all this laughter and fun coming from Jeff's room, even when he was really, really sick. It's just an amazing story. It's a heartwarming story, especially in an age where there's such bad news seemingly every day on the news, on the radio, on television, wherever you turn. There's got to be some hope. There's got to be some joy left in the world. There's got to be a place where you can feel good about actually helping somebody who is genuinely in need. And if this story has inspired you to help Jeff and Karen, please check out the hashtag $10, 10 shares, 10 prayers. You can Google that and it'll bring you to the information on the GoFundMe page that's been set up to help pay for Jeff and Karen's medical expenses. And as I said before, alternative medicine, ways for Jeff to be completely 100% healed, things that the insurance doesn't cover. And so I put the links in the show notes to the Jeff Green Journey to Healing Facebook group that you can join, as well as the hashtag that you can look up and ways for you to get a hold of Jeff and Karen. You can also get a hold of me if all those other avenues fail. You can email me, preachersforum@gmail.com. You can stop by my Facebook page, which I've actually just recently renamed. I used to call it the Preachers Forum page, but it's now the Mind Shift Podcast page at facebook.com/The Preachers Forum, which of course was the name of this podcast before I changed it to Mind Shift. You can also follow me on Twitter @Preachers Forum and the same on Instagram @Preachers Forum. So there's ways to get a hold of me, and I'll put you in touch with Jeff and Karen, and you can be a part of this amazing journey of helping Jeff and Karen on their journey to healing. All right, I'm going to let you go now. I ask you please to get in touch with me or Jeff or Karen some way on Facebook or watch the YouTube video. But I challenge you to enter into this story and be a part of helping someone who is genuinely in need. So thanks for joining me. This is Dr. Clint Haycock, your host. I will see you next Friday right here on Mind Shift.